Yeah.
Good spell. We join the Marriott, a good spell. It's off and on, and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS106 radio show. Intellectual conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go and give them a tweet. The DS106 Good Spell Show.
106 Bullets, the DS106 Good Spell, futzing splendidly since 2013 on DS106 Radio for Life. One of 106 Bullets, Mantras and Koans explore the open online course Digital Storytelling 106. Meditations rambles about education, openness, open education, art, fun, learning. I'm John Johnson. And with me, as usual, is Mariana Finnis. Hi, Mariana.
Hello, good evening, John. Good to hear your voice and be here live. I'm back in the UK today.
Yeah, you're back. I haven't gone away. I'm still in the UK, I think. But we are getting to the end of our spring term this week of DS106 Radio, The Good Spell. We were aiming to do 10 episodes. I think we're on episode 7 somehow. I'm not sure how many we've done in that period, but it's following the pattern. And this bullet here is one that we think very few people will understand. The annual question of the edge.org has been my desert island book if we were allowed to take a virtual book. So
I said that I think we need to start by explaining about Desert Island Discs before we go anywhere else here. Oh, have I lost you?
No, I just silenced my mic to check something out. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Desert Island Discs, for people who don't listen to BBC Radio 4, and there must be one or two people out there that don't, is a very long run. I don't know how long Desert Island Discs has been running. I can't ever remember listening to the radio when it wasn't on.
I think that's right, yes.
And confusingly, it's got almost nothing to do with books. You want to take this book, but the guests are marooned, or going to be marooned in a desert island, and asked to choose, I think it's seven records that they would take with them. And they also get to take the Bible, the complete works of Shakespeare, and a choice of their own.
Yeah, one other book, isn't it?
Yeah. So your choice is not a book, it's a website. I think that might be a deal breaker. I don't think they would want you to take the internet archives. And it's this site, edge.org. Now, before 10 minutes ago or something, I'd never seen this site, so maybe you could give us a wee bit of background on it, Mariana.
Well, the first thing I want to say is that, you know, I do absolutely understand that for anybody who's listening, they may not have any clue at all as to why this has anything to do with DS106 and open learning. And the only connection I can find a year after I've written this thing is that I got to find out about edge.org via Gardner Campbell, who of course I was introduced to via DS106. So it might be more of a personal connection than a topic connection. But the edge.org, I suppose the connection to DS106 is around creativity. And the thing, I'm not going to go into too much depth about the actual site, but the thing that it does is what it calls the annual question. And I suppose generally it's just an ideas, conversations, and, you know, interesting thoughts from lots of interesting people. And as part of what it does this annual question. And each year it then asks... I don't know how it does the who contributes, whether anybody can contribute, whether it asks specific people to contribute, but the people who contribute to each annual question are really interesting people, and often people who are working, academics or people, or interested people who are working in the topic of the question. And the question that I first saw when I first, when I first kind of came across it was the 2008 question, which was the, what have you changed your mind about recently and why? And this was, in fact, the thing that Gardner Campbell introduced me to. And of course, the link, as I start to talk, I realized.
Yeah, got you last week. Yeah.
The connections make sense that, you know, it's sort of the idea of, the ES-106 as, pushing the boundaries of not taking things as given, as experimentation. And just asking this question of, lots of very interesting people, it makes a really nice read if you haven't come across it before. And of course, just the frame that it throws on things, that you should question your own assumptions, your own preconception, is kind of what we do in DS-106, isn't it?
Yeah, I think also time chimes in with your idea about it being really hard to actually change your mind. From the other week, that to change is actually really difficult. And again, we talked about listening to, being in a silo and listening to the echo chamber and all these things, which feed in quite nicely. Mm-hmm. So these are big, hefty questions, aren't they? And as you said, it seems quite, and this is just me clicking through this evening, the site, yeah, that there's quite a lot of heavyweight thinkers in there, mm-hmm, adding their.
Shall we read a few so that people, for people, so you've got the, how is the internet changing the way you think? What's an idea that will change everything? What are you optimistic about? And then there is, what's this year, the 2015? 2015 here. Oh yeah. What do you think about machines that think? So they are very lovely, big, open questions about a particular area. I suppose it's not surprising that it appeals to me.
Yeah. Quite hard questions, and as I say, we've got quite a lot of heavyweight philosophers and thinkers. Mm-hmm. I'm just, most of who I'm only recognising that they're heavyweights because of the list of titles in their Professor Oxford and, well, there's Daniel Dennett, so there's a famous, well-known, famous person, and talking about that. And I'm guessing one of the ones that you bookmarked, one of the responses that interests you particularly is the one about, do you have to suffer to think?
Yes. Well, I thought it was, this is 2015, what do you think about machines that think? So I had a little, a little look today to sort of update myself on what was the 2015 question. And to be fair, a lot of them, because it's a kind of an area that I do know quite a bit about, I was kind of like, meh, not that interesting. Then I found, Mary Catherine Bateson, who, I think is a really interesting thinker. But even her, her contribution, because she's not, she's not a technologist in any way, so it was all quite superficial, really. But this guy, I forget his name, have you got him there? Let me try.
Thomas Metzinger, who's
I've heard the name. I have heard the name. I don't know much more about him, but he's philosopher is he? Yeah, he's here in Europe, and he's author of a book called The Ego Tunnel. Oh, I should read that book. Anyway, a philosopher he is, and the main thing about so what do you think about machines that think? What if they need to suffer? The whole point about his answer to the question is that part of what makes us creative, what makes us able to develop all of the things that humans do, is because we suffer, and we have to react in that suffering to find different ways in which we can cope with that suffering. And so he says, if that is what makes us think and be, think both analytically and creatively, then perhaps the only way that you could get machines that think is if you get them suffering, which I just thought was an interesting idea.
I'm presuming that a bit of that talks to Buddhism in some way. I can't really, the idea of things being suffering or life being suffering.
Well, impermanence is the thing that does connect to Buddhism, that he does talk about in his response, and he says that unless we were able to give machines a sense of their own kind of impermanence and short-term existence in the world, which I guess is what leads to suffering, because we are constantly in conflict with that thing that we're not going to live forever but we would like to, that unless we're able to do that, so he says, you know, I was just scanning here, you know, we are smart because we hurt, because we are able to feel regret because of our continuous striving to find some viable form of self-deception or symbolic immortality. You're not going to have to read him.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's going to cheer you up at the end, though, is it?
You're lovely, you are.
But
I think it's a very interesting concept, isn't it? Because, I mean, a lot of people talk about AI, they talk about the idea of, you know, an embodied machine, and, you know, and you know that there are people that are trying to create machines that move in the world in order to give them the embodiment to develop intelligence over time. All of that thing, that's kind of, well, you know, people are trying that. But the fact that he has actually targeted this thing, you know, specific suffering thing, that I thought was interesting, because it's not, you know, any emotion. It's actually specifically saying what gives us our edge is the fact that we suffer. So it's a kind of positive take on suffering.
Yeah, but I'm just speed reading this without understanding most of the words. But, you know, there seems to be this idea, I presume, that you need to have a sense of self before you can suffer. Is that?
Well, I guess so, because that's the thing that makes us want to pretend that we're going to live forever, because we want to preserve that self somehow.
And then I wonder then where down the sort of evolutionary chain does that sense of self go away, and then if things are going on in the brain of an animal, is that not still thinking, even if it's not self-aware?
Well, but I think that's kind of the point of the question. Mm. That the questions are so big, aren't they? Yeah. That they allow you to. I mean, the question is doing that for you as well, isn't it? As soon as you read the question, it just sends you off into all sorts of possibilities and different ways to think about. You know, well, what does it mean to have a self? And do animals have a self? And does it count in the same way? And if you were to develop a kind of basic sense of I in a machine, does that mean that therefore, you know, it should have some kind of status that is different from just a machine? It just raises all those questions, doesn't it? And that's what makes it interesting. I suppose I don't think that there are questions that have any kind of easy answers. But interesting.
We're probably not going to make this one before 8:30, then, are we?
I think we need to
sort of spin on to DS106 a wee bit. I just wonder, though, that his question is if they need to suffer. Maybe it would be a nicer question to ask: do they need to enjoy themselves? You know, I presume the conditions may be the same. You know, to enjoy yourself as to suffer, I don't know. Anyway, so
that's an interesting. Now there you go. That's an interesting idea. Whether either sort of happiness or suffering are this, you know, the same conditions. Anyway, you were going to go on to something else.
Well,
you're trying to connect back to DS106.
Trying to,
I think,
desperately connect back to DS106, where happiness and suffering are mixed up, and the suffering is never too terrible. It's mostly probably
except when you don't know a particular Photoshop command that would make your GIF look beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to say most suffering in DS106 has probably got something to do with Photoshop, which takes some sort of I don't think we're in the heavens Photoshop would fit, but sometimes in one of the circles of hell, I think. Anyway, this week on DS106, earlier this week when you were in Mexico, the open online participants broadcast their I'm with you, Michelle.
What did you say?
I want to enjoy myself. Suffering sucks. Yeah. That's right. But earlier this week on Monday evening, if you were a guest in the States and in the middle of the night, if you were in Europe, the Open Online participants broadcast their radio show, and you went all the way to Mexico to listen, which I think is showing a depth of dedication to DS106 that not many other people have, Mariana.
Exactly. I go all the way to Mexico, and other people make their apologies to say it's going to be 2 o'clock in the morning in the UK. I say lightweights. That's what I say.
So maybe, because I was a lightweight as well, maybe you could tell us a wee bit about how that went and what happened.
I think we've got our link with the age and suffering just when we start to talk about the 1 hour plus worth of suffering that went on with Jim Fatsing DS106 Radio. And he couldn't. Oh, we had such fun. He couldn't play. It turns out that he doesn't really know much about how the DS106 radio works.
Right, okay.
So he was desperately. Rochelle had been very efficient, and she put the playlist as we've been shown by Alan. Put the playlist, and everything was all set to go. You know, he just needed to hit play whenever. You know, but she. But he couldn't actually. He couldn't even log on to the S106 radio.
Right.
So we spent an hour with futzing around, trying to teach him how to. And Alan came on Twitter to give him coaching on how to get on. Oh, we had such fun because he had about 6 or 7 people on Skype. He was trying to keep the thing going, right, live, as he was, futzing to try and get the radio going. And, we just laughed. It was such good fun. But I think he felt a bit bad because, of course, it took him so long to get it going. And eventually we did, and the show played, and they did use, Rochelle's playlist that she had so carefully put together. And it was absolutely wonderful because, for me, there were bits that were new I hadn't heard before. But it's amazing how... how something comes together in this kind of way without us ever having had a synchronous conversation. It's really quite an incredible thing. So I'd be quite happy to chat a bit more about that whole thing.
So before you do, is Rochelle's playlist, have we got a URL for that?
She probably will post. Well, we don't have... No, I don't think we have it out proper in the open yet. Dog Tracks had asked as well. I did say that we'll sort that out at some point so that it's available in the archive, the S106 radio show's archives. We'd need to somehow put it in there, but we haven't yet, I don't think.
I was berating via Jim the students in DS106 radio who hadn't turned on downloads for their radio shows because it's difficult for folk who listen to podcasts in the car to be able to do that. And I know that's maybe a minority interest, but it's quite important, I think, if you're sharing things, to make it as easy as possible for people to listen.
There is a space in the DS106 site where all the and I think the Noir 106 shows are already there, but I don't think that ours has migrated to the DS106 site archive yet. And of course, the thing that you will never have, because it was ephemeral and unique, and only if you were up at 2 a.m. in the morning UK time would you have appreciated the uniqueness and preciousness of Jim Fatsing, DS106 Radio, and Rochelle plus others suffering, as she says in her tweet. At one point he says to Rochelle, are you a bit angry with me right now? And she was being very diplomatic. we had talk our star Toki Tina. She was on Skype too. So, the whole thing was a crazy hour. But I tried to record it, but our my connection was just not good enough. It would have been nice for people mm-hmm. to see, because it was a really real example of how how we manage situations when things are difficult in the context of VS106, and how we collaborate with each other to try and help something happen when there are issues. I think Martha came on the Skype call, somebody else popped in, everybody who could help tried to help. It was lovely in a way.
Yeah.
Rochelle has put a bumper through that. Oh yes, her Fatsim bumper. I don't know if you, or maybe you could just try and play it. That worked the last time.
If you can,
shall I try?
Yeah, you could try that. I was just going to go and download it if it's download.
Well, get it. Yeah, I'm sure she would have put it. Yes, she has put it downloadable.
Yeah.
So go.
Yeah, there goes. I've got a much better internet connection. Oops.
Oh! Hang on! Sorry, it started playing automatically.
Right, I'm just gonna play it now then. Since if I can find it, where's it? Oh. Ah, here we go.
Yeah, brilliant.
If at first you don't succeed, then skydiving isn't for you. But DS106 Radio might be. DS106 Radio, where futzing is an art form.
Came through to everybody that was listening out there, as usual. I'm never sure of the level, so I just grab something straight away and pull it out, but we'll see, and I'll certainly have it.
But it was a lovely example of the Fatsim thing that we make fun of and how we kind of help each other. Absolutely in some ways connected to this, this bullet this week, in as much as, it really is a way to kind of learn that thing of, always question, and find ways until, you can get a way through, whether it is in art or in life, isn't it, really? It's just lovely. Eventually we got it playing, and we got it playing halfway through. So everybody was, including Toki Tina, was flapping everywhere because, we'd miss this and we'd miss that, and everybody was flapping on Skype, on Twitter, everywhere, And then I think that at that point, once Jim had actually put the Skype down and, got rid of all of us, he concentrated and then he was able to play it and got it started from the beginning. And so I listened as best I could because I kept getting cut off because of my connection. And then we had a pre-show. We finally heard the show. Then we had an after show as well. With lots of really interesting questions about the how do you create a kind of collaborative story in this kind of way.
So the question now, and Rochelle said this before I get to the question, is the show will be up and available after I get back home. So we'll certainly get that into the show notes, I think, even if I have to get them in afterwards. And the question I was interested in, or the one Jim put up as a pre-show question, was why are these open online people doing this? Now I'm hoping you're just going to give us the answer now.
I'll give you the answer in one way. We had so many different answers because we started the show that way. The show already played. It replayed again. The playlist was rescheduled, I imagine, by Rochelle or somebody else, and it played yesterday, day before, anyway, a couple of days ago. And only Sheila Stagner, who sometimes listens to us as well and is doing quite a bit of paying attention to the S106, she was listening. And she sent out a tweet saying, and I've just finished work, literally. I just come back in and I was checking Twitter. I was still in Mexico, just finished work. And I was about to, to grab a cup of tea and sit down, and I saw her tweet, and so I said, look, I'm just come from back from work, I'll get myself a cup of tea and I'll listen with you. So I listened to it again.
Yeah,
so the
yeah.
question is why.
Yeah. So that, I think, is to do with you listening again with Sheila, is something to do with community and just sitting down with people and things like that. And I mean, that's an awful lot of the reason, I guess, that that folk continue to do DS-106 type things, because if you don't have a set of pals to talk about stuff to, it's sometimes quite difficult, I think, to keep momentum up and things like that.
The more general, so the community, I think, is an element, and some people talked about that. They said that, you know, having the people, you know, having people kind of motivates them to, you know, to find the time to do some, you know, some creative work. But the interesting, I suppose, thing was that, you know, most of us really said that we kind of see it as a fun thing. You know, Jim joked and said, so here I am surrounded by a group of fun junkies. And I think there is that element of, you know, being, you know, the fun element of it. That means that it's something other than your day job. So when you're relaxing, it's nice to have. If you're not the kind of person that likes to plonk yourself in front of the TV and go, you know, and go numb, then these things are kind of an alternative way of doing things. Like, you might pop around for a cup of coffee with your neighbor. Well, we pop to our Google Doc, don't we?
Yeah.
to see what, you know, what's Rochelle asking for next for her, for the, because she was brilliant. Oh, they called her, because you would have missed this, they called Rochelle the DS-106 mum.
Yeah.
Ben, I think it was, said, thank you very much for being mum and getting us all organized and putting it all together, because if she hadn't kept track of everything, I don't think it would ever have happened.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously an awful lot of things like that, like yourself doing the daily creates. If there wasn't somebody to do that, I guess people might, you know, to do it when there's a course on or something, but it wouldn't become this sort of continual thing that just sits there and gives people a chance to play around and join in and drop out and all the rest of it. And I think that sort of work, and Rochelle, your work on that, and Rochelle's work.
Well, the radio show, because you were part of it in a little way, weren't you? And the way that Rochelle did it was, you know, how we've done collaboration before, which is, you know, you put everything together, somebody has to keep track, and as things are needed, you ask if anybody can help, and, you know, sometimes people come up and they go, yes, I'll do this bit, I'll do that bit, but then, you know, that all those bits have to come together, like in the bit that I did, when I asked, you know, Karen to do the voice, and I, you know, one of the voices, and I asked Dog Tracks to do something else, but then, you know, all of these bits come together, so I came together with one bit, you know, Karen did another bit, and then, you know, Rochelle was keeping an eye on the whole thing, and somehow pulled it all together. So she just kept saying, you know, very quietly but insistently, just how long it had taken her to put it all together.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not surprised about, because I know how long, you know, each of the small bits take. So when you're keeping track of the whole, if you want it to be coherent and not, you know, not glitch in places, you actually have to listen to the thing over and over and over and over again, don't you?
Yeah, I think Rochelle is somewhat a perfectionist with these things, and that's a good...
But I tell you, John, you must, I mean, when it's up, you know, you should take some time to listen, because the more I listen to it, the more I am just amazed. I mean, the quality of it is... You know, and I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet or anybody's, because, you know, we all did it together and it was great that, you know, we were able to do it. I must say, you know, I was actually, some of the things, I don't know that I said this quite as explicitly on Skype, but some people did allude to it, which is, I didn't know that the bit that I was doing would come together.
Yeah.
I had this idea, and I asked, you know, the voices and all of that to do the bits in a particular way, because I had a thought in my head that if we pull these things together, it could in some way be interesting and funny. But by the time that you just don't know when you put it all together if it's going to work.
Yeah.
And somehow, you know, not only did it work, but I mean, really, it, I actually have to say I enjoyed listening to the whole thing the second time with Sheila. So it's really it was a lovely experience, and it was lovely that, you know, John was there, that Martha was listening, that, you know, a whole, I think they said about 27 people were listening.
Yes, I was looking at the 106 radio page earlier on, because it tells you how many people are listening and the maximum recent listeners, so that they have been up to 27 recently, which is pretty good.
And then Talkie Tina made fun of Uncle Jim, saying I think there were 26, and then somehow in between, you know, Jim not being able to play the thing, we lost a third of the listeners. So Talkie Tina was going, well, thank you, Uncle Jim. You know, I'm glad that at least we've still got a few more left, but you know, you've lost us a third of our listeners.
I'm sure you'll get plenty more back. I mean, I'm really looking forward to listening to it, but I want to get it so that I've got it on and can stick it on when I'm going on a reasonable long journey and just listen to the whole thing.
You'll have fun. Yeah. It's a good one.
And is that, I'm just looking at Twitter. Yeah, I think we're about 8:30, Mariana. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
No, I'm afraid I've been a bit bad with keeping up with what everybody else was doing, because I was busy with Mexico and things, because I was actually working on something else. I didn't just fly out for this 106. there's no more that I've got to say, because I really haven't been, you know, keeping up, except for just a general point that, you know, some of the daily creates this last week have been brilliant, and I even managed to do one or two myself this week, and Viv's tree art thing, if you get a chance to have a look at the responses for that, I just loved it, and I had a go, and I actually did two tree arts, and I think Rochelle did one. Lots of people have
done. I've done a couple.
Oh, you did one. You did your little the baobabs, didn't you, that I liked. I loved it. Your little thing reminded me of the little prince and his trees that grew and grew in his little planet, and if he didn't trim the trees, the trees would take over his little planet.
It's a dead easy app to use. It's that tiny planet one. It just makes tiny planets out of anything you throw it at. If you choose a half decent picture, you'll get something nice. There's a whack. I'm just looking at the, because the last time I looked, there was about 12 pictures on that stream, and now there's looks like about 20, I think.
I think people have that. It's the same as I was a bit unsure about how to. And then I really enjoyed it. I thought, I'll do another one.
Yeah.
So that was Viv, because it's Viv's thing that she does a lot of those.
I can't find hers at the moment. I'll do check that later. I think we'll probably hang up. We actually played into the show tonight with Viv's bumper that she made us.
Have you got Jim's beer? We could play out with Jim's beer.
I have somewhere, yes. I'll just do a wee search for that. I don't think I'll have many more songs with. I think I've got it somewhere. Search library. What is called Jim's beer?
Yeah, Jim Groom beer. Jim Groom beer. The beer for any emergency. Now a word from our sponsors.
Gosh, I can't find it. Need to dig it out.
Don't worry about it.
Let's play out. Oh, I've got it. It's called Groom Beer Final One.
What's the matter, darling?
I'm so sorry. So sorry. I burnt your dinner.
Don't worry, darling. You didn't burn the Jim Groom's. Jim Groom beer. The beer for any emergency.